New York City, the city that never sleeps. And we're down here filming in Times Square. It's such a fast life. People need the love of God. So I'm just so thankful that we're here. There's knee. Ankle?
Yeah.
And your foot?
Yeah, and the foot.
And we saw a kid with crutches and actually prayed for his ankle. Where's your pain at? Point to where it is. Right here? Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Ankle, we command you be healed in Jesus' name right now. Move it. Stand on it, man. Stand on it. Come on, man. Give me your crutches. I ain't gonna steal them. Jump. Come on, man. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, people started coming up, coming up, coming up, coming up. We had so many encounters.
Hello, everybody. How are we all doing today? Okay. Hi, there we go. My name is Esther. I'm on staff here at the church. For those of you who don't know who that man was in the video, his name is Todd White. He was the one that was praying for the young man with crutches. Who here has heard of Todd White? Okay, nice. A little chunk of people. So Todd White is an evangelist. He has a really, really amazing testimony. The Lord's brought him through a lot. And because of that, he now lives a very radical life for Jesus. He has a very abundant ministry and just a really, really fantastic person who stepped into God's call on his life. So I first heard about Todd White a few years ago when I went to a conference. And at this conference, we did a lot of like going out and praying for people. And I also heard about a school of ministry that Todd had just started in Texas. So I ended up attending the school of ministry for about 4 months. And at the school, we did a lot of the outreaches like we did at the conference. And these outreaches are times where we would just ask the Lord for a location. And then we go to that location and ask the Lord to highlight someone that needs prayer, and we would go up and pray with those people, whatever that meant. Maybe that was physical healing, maybe it was just telling them that Jesus loves them, but we would always try to pray with them if we were able to. So my very first outreach, I had only been at the school for about a week. This is my very first outreach at the school. And that day, like, I knew it was coming, and it was a Friday, and we would have, like, class in the morning, and then we'd go out in the afternoon, like, 12 to 2 or 1 to 3 or somewhere in there, like, a two-hour period. And so for that time, I really just did not want to pray for anyone, so I didn't. I ended up just kind of, I don't know if I went shopping or something. I just went and killed some time, and I did not pray for anyone. I did not do what I was supposed to do. Well, that night, my roommate and I went and got groceries at Walmart. And while I was in Walmart, I was doing my own shopping, and I heard this lady in like another aisle mutter to herself that her leg was hurting. And she was kind of like, oh man, my leg's just really hurting. Like, it was just such a random, like, I mean, I don't do that in public. It was so random, and I heard this, and I was like, oh, I am supposed to pray for this woman for her leg. And I was not about to do that because I'd already spent the whole day like ignoring what I was supposed to do. So I was like, I'm not doing that. I kind of went about my stuff and I saw her like walk past the aisle I was in. So I just kind of started following her. And it wasn't like complete stalking, but it was definitely like I was keeping my eye on her. I really wanted to, yeah, because I was supposed to pray with her and I just didn't want to. So I started following her. She was going to the self-checkout, and somehow I lost her. And when I lost her, I knew, oh no, I was supposed to pray with her, and now I have to find her, because like, I can't miss out, because I knew I was supposed to. So I found her, went up to her and asked if I could pray for her, and she was like, yes. Like, I remember she was just so intently said yes. And so I prayed over her, and she got complete healing in her leg. It was so, so cool. And then because of that, I also got to tell her about Jesus. And fun fact, when I prayed, I will tell you that my wording was not great. I don't remember my exact wording, but I remember thinking, wow, that was really like not good work right there. And so I prayed and
And then I walked away, and this woman walked away. And then that's when I heard her like, what did you do? Like, and she had gotten healing and she like knew it. And I turned around and I was like, wait, what? And she's like, it's completely healed. It's completely healed. And I was like, are you sure? Like, I asked her three times if she was sure. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, it was pretty obvious she was sure because she was walking around without a limp anymore. Like, it was awesome. Absolutely awesome. So I share that story to share with you that prayer is really, really important. And it doesn't matter what the wording is. And honestly, my heart posture wasn't great, but that didn't matter because the Lord still used that and he still healed her and she got to hear about Jesus that day. So prayer is super, super important. The definition of prayer is a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. It's an earnest hope or wish. So prayer is how we talk to God. In the ESV Bible translation, prayer to God is mentioned around 340 times. 340 times. And I think if something is mentioned that many times in the Bible, then it must be pretty, pretty important. So let's talk about what Scripture says about prayer. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. I love the word constant there because it's not just like a, oh, we do this in the morning and then we do this in the evening or we do this before our meals. No, it's constant. 24/7. Prayer is supposed to be continuous communication with God. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So by talking, asking, or giving thanks, we can come to God with any and all of our situations. Nothing's off the table. Acts 1 verse 14, this is talking about all the followers of Jesus. So these are people that have spent time with Jesus. It says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. So these people were dedicated to prayer. They were living a life of prayer, and they all did it together. I love that. So we are continuing our message series titled Devoted, and our theme verse for this series has been Acts 2, verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So last week, Rose Schwartz taught a message on devoted to breaking bread. And this was a really, really good message on how the disciples ate together and how it's important that we're following that example. She also talked about how important communion is. So I would recommend watching that. It will change your view on communion and how important it is. So you can watch that online if you would like. For today, we're going to be in Acts 4, verse 21 to 31. This is after Jesus is taken up to heaven, the Holy Spirit's already come at Pentecost, and now the apostles are starting to act out Jesus' teachings. They're like actually going with this in their daily life. So Peter and John attract a lot of attention when Peter heals a lame beggar, and the high priests don't like that, so they arrest Peter and John, and that's where we pick up in Acts 4, 21 to 31. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So today's message title is simply devoted to prayer. But before we jump into the points, will you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity that we get to learn more about prayer and what that means in our lives. God, we invite you here, and I ask that anything that I want to say is not what I want to say, Lord, but it's what you want to say. Make my words your words. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So our first point is we can be devoted to prayer by confiding in our people. Our people. This comes from verse 23. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So the first thing that Peter and John do is they go to their people. They have this people group that they shared everything with. And step one was telling them everything. I think people groups are very, very important. I think it's important that we have those people in our lives because there's a lot of things that you need to like talk to people about, and that's a good thing. So that can be like hard stuff, it could be messy stuff, it could be really, really good stuff, but I know that it can be difficult to share the messy stuff, and so that's why it's really important that you have people that you can share the messy stuff with. Messy stuff might include maybe some like sickness, family or relational stuff, work-related stuff. Maybe you just have a situation in your head that's like bouncing around and you just need to verbalize it with someone. Those are people that we can take this stuff to. So I want to talk a little bit about who those people could be. You might have a few ideas in your head, but here's ones that like I came up with that would be good. And if you don't have a people group, this is a really, really good place to start. So the first thing I thought of is a mentor. I think it's really important to have a mentor. This is going to be someone who is older and hopefully wiser. They're just older than you. They have a little bit more life experience. A second one that I thought of is a peer. This doesn't have to be someone that's the same age as you, but probably in the same season of life. Like I have a really good friend who is 10, 12 years older than me, but she's in a very similar season of life as I am. And she's been a really good peer for me, and at times, a good mentor as well. And then another person I thought of is if you're married or you're in a romantic relationship, then a spouse or a significant other would probably fall into this list as well as one of your people that you can take stuff to. So we really need these people groups, so if you don't have one, I would recommend start putting one together because it's gonna be very, very beneficial for you. A good place to find these people could be here at the church. I think it's very helpful to have people that have similar spiritual beliefs than you. If Peter and John, so their people group, were followers of Jesus, right? Those are people that were very, very spiritually lined up in the same way as Peter and John. So they went to them, and they prayed with them, and it was great, right? But if Peter and John had went to a different people group of people that didn't know Jesus, well, they probably wouldn't have prayed together, and I would argue that those people probably would have told Peter and John that they were crazy for doing something that would get them arrested in the first place, and I really don't think they would encourage Peter and John to continue doing that, right? So that's a different focus. So I do want to highlight that maybe it's a good thing to be cautious of if you have, like, your best friend doesn't know the Lord, that's completely okay. But just be careful what you receive from them because you do want someone that's going to direct you back towards the word. You're also going to want someone that you can trust. It's really important that when you are opening up to someone that you trust them. You need to be able to be vulnerable, and that can be a hard step. And so you want someone that is going to feel safe to you. Another thing is when you're looking for, you know, a mentor or maybe an accountability partner, you might just be sitting there just waiting for something to fall in your lap, and that could happen, but it also might not. So I have a mentor of mine that it was a very organic relationship. We just became friends, and she just became my mentor, and it was just very organic. But that's not always the case. I have a friend who really wanted a mentor for a long time, and they just couldn't you know, find anyone. Nothing was happening. Finally, they just went to someone that they trusted and asked them to be their mentor, and that person is now their mentor, and there is a natural connection that has come from that, but it wasn't necessarily something that fell in their lap. They had to initiate that. And so that could be if you're in a season where you really need a mentor or you really need someone to be like an accountability partner, you might have to initiate that, and that could be a really good thing because a natural connection can come out of that as well. And with that, it's also important that we can be that for someone else. So you can be a mentor or a peer to someone else. An easy way to do that is to start by just listening. You don't have to be an official mentor to listen to someone. You don't have to be an official accountability partner to listen to someone. Proverbs 18, verse 2 says, "Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions." It's okay to listen and not offer advice. It's completely okay to just listen. One thing that's been really helpful for me in my relationships is comfort versus solutions. Has anyone heard of comfort versus solutions? Okay, cool. Got some head nods. Love that. So comfort versus solutions. I practice this when someone comes to me and they're like processing a situation. You know, they just got something going on in their head and they're just verbalizing it. Well, I'll ask them, do you want comfort from me or do you want a solution? If you want comfort, I will listen and I will just listen. If you want a solution, I will listen and then I will hopefully offer some good advice if something kind of comes up in my brain. And that has been really, really helpful. I have a friend that I routinely ask her what she wants from me when she's processing something, and she'll say different things. One time I remember specifically, she said she just wanted comfort, and I had something in my head that I was like, oh man, like this is advice I could give. But I was like, you know what, she just said she wanted comfort, so I'm not gonna step into that, I'm just going to listen. And that was what I did in that situation. I've had times where my friends will tell me they want a solution, and I do that. I've had times where friends will tell me I want both, and I'm like, okay, then let's just listen for a while, and you just spill whatever's on your heart, and then we'll try to figure out a solution together, and you try to, you know, help them. So that is something that has been a really, really helpful thing in my relationships. Another part of helping people trust you is by keeping what they say confidential. Proverbs 11, verse 13 says, "A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret." Gossip is a really easy sin to fall into. It's really easy. I know that from experience. For me, it comes up in, oh, I'll just a quick vent, or, oh, I just need to process this, or the person I'm telling it to, they'll keep it confidential. No, all of that's still gossip, and you have to be very, very careful. There is a very fine line between processing what's in your head and talking about someone negatively. You have to be very careful. I have learned that the hard way. So your next fill-in is be someone for others to trust. I just want to encourage you to be someone for others to trust. And we can do that by, you know, listening and hopefully by keeping whatever they say confidential. So that's our first point. We can be devoted to prayer by confiding in our people, and we can be devoted to prayer by raising our voices with our people. This comes from verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. I love that. They all come together. So Peter and John, they were arrested, released, tell their people everything, and then they pray. Just right away, taking it to the Lord. I think that's so good. Praying, like, you know, it's really good when someone prays for you, right? Like, that feels really good, and it feels really good when you get to pray for someone else, right? Praying with people is just, like, another level of, like, yeah, a few of us are going to gather and pray together. And the reason I love it so much is that we can experience the Holy Spirit. In this scripture with the apostles, the house was shaken. They experienced the presence of God. It doesn't really get much better than that, right? Like, that's so, so cool. And we get to experience that too. In Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." He's with us. He's with us when we gather in his name, when we pray together. He is with us. I want to share a story with you. A few years ago, I had a close group of friends. There was about 8 to 10. We were all young adults. And we would get together and hang out and eat together, worship together. Often someone would pull out a guitar and we'd worship. And from that, we'd also, prayer would come up. And that was some of the best Holy Spirit moments I have experienced in my life, is praying with those young adults. I would say we had a kind of a steady amount of physical healings that would take place in our little group. There was times where the Holy Spirit was so thick that we couldn't stand, or, you know, we'd completely pass out in the Spirit. And it was just incredible the way the Holy Spirit showed up in our little circle. We would be in random parking lots, just sitting there at 1 a.m., and the Holy Spirit is just meeting us when we prayed. And I will say that the worship, when we would worship together, oh, that was great. And, you know, eating together, fellowship, that was all great. It was that prayer, though, that the Holy Spirit really showed up and moved. And it marked us. I will tell you, it marked us. There was changes that happened because of the fruits of those prayers. I want to read you Acts 12, verses 5 through 7. This is when Peter's in prison, and this is showing where the church prays for his release. Verse 5, "So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. 'Quick, get up,' he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists." The church prayed, his people prayed, and Peter experienced freedom. Physical freedom came out of the church praying. This is so miraculous. Actually, later on in the story, he shows up at their house and they don't believe it's him. They think it's his ghost, because it was so miraculous that their prayers were answered. It's so, so good. So prayer really, really does change things. And that's what makes that so, so important. So all of that, that's a great why we pray. And I love all that, but I also wanted to give you a little bit more of the practical side on how we can pray together. So there are so many, so many, so many different ways that we can pray. There's not like some strict rule book on this, but I just wanted to pull out four ways that the apostles modeled prayer for us from our main scripture here. So the first way we are supposed to pray is with faith. Verse 24, "Sovereign Lord," they said. They addressed God. They believed who they were talking to. They did not just come in this with, "Oh, to whoever is listening, whoever's out there." No, no, no. Like, they're like, "Sovereign Lord, we're talking to you. We know that you're listening. We're addressing you, and that's what we're running on." There was this faith that they knew they were talking to the Almighty God. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." That's what we get. We get to be children of God, and he's our God. And that's the confidence we can have and the faith that we can have in addressing him. A few years ago, I went through a season where I really didn't believe that God heard my prayers. And to be completely honest, it was a really bleak and hopeless season. And then I ended up going to the discipleship school in Texas that I told you about. And I learned that God does hear our prayers, and I learned that because I saw him answer prayers. I saw him answer prayers for others, and then I saw him start answering prayers for me. And that was so cool. My faith was built, but it was built because I stepped out and prayed. So even though I thought, "Oh, it doesn't really matter, I'm not really gonna do anything," I still had to go out and step out in faith and pray to God, and then my faith grew because I saw the outcome of those prayers.
So good. It was a really unhealthy season that turned into something really, really beautiful, actually. And you can have that same faith of like, yes, I am praying to God, and I know that I'm praying to God. Another way that the apostles modeled prayer for us is with praise. This comes from verse 24. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They're acknowledging God. They're acknowledging what he's done. In that acknowledgement, there's reflection. They're reflecting on what he's done. And through that reflection, there's glory. And that glory is praise. Praise is what they're lifting up to him. They're giving him glory. They're giving him praise. In that praise, there can also be thanksgiving. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. It's good that we stuff thanksgiving into our prayers. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Right out of the gate, thanksgiving and praise. Right out of the gate. And that's what I love about what the apostles are doing, is it is right out of the gate for them. They're like, sovereign Lord, praise and thanksgiving right there. Like, that's so good. And I think it's a really, really good practice for us to start. So a very practical way to do that is start out your prayers with praise and thanksgiving. So often I will start out a prayer like, God, can you just, or God, I really want, and desires, that's fine. My desires can come later, though, because in that moment, the Lord will nudge me, and he's like, what are you doing? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to give you thanks. And then I will center myself. Like, I will literally start a sentence with, God, I just want, God, thank you for doing X, Y, and Z, and thank you for who you are. And it's really a really good practice that he's been teaching me. And so I think that that's a really good step for, like, all of us to take. Just going into a prayer with thanksgiving and praise, I will tell you, it really centers your mind. Really centers your mind on what's important, and it's God. Because again, our desires, they'll come later. But God is what's important. Another way that the apostles modeled prayer for us is with specifics. Verse 29 to 30 says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They're so specific. They're like, consider this, enable us, stretch out your hand to heal. Like, they're so specific. They didn't beat around the bush. They're like, this is what we want. I think it takes a lot of confidence. But the good thing is the scripture says that we can have that confidence. Ephesians 3, verse 12 says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Because of Jesus, we get to come to God with any and every situation. And that's a good thing. We can also have confidence that God's going to hear our requests. 1 John 5, verses 14 to 15 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. That's exciting, right? Like, we get to know that he's hearing our requests. And here's evidence, physical evidence, of why we know that. Well, in the apostles' prayer, they pray for people to be healed, and they pray for boldness in their speech. Those are two things they ask for. And later on in Acts, those things come into fruition. Acts 5, verse 12 says, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. Okay, cool. Stuff is happening. Verse 16 says, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Not a couple, not even a majority. All of them were healed. Like, how cool is that? All of them. They prayed for people to be healed, and all of them are healed. Boom, boom. That's it. Like, so good. Later on, here's where they spoke boldly. This is Acts 5, 17 to 29. I'm not going to read it all,
But the high priests are jealous again because of what the apostles are doing, so they arrest them again. And an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought the apostles out. And this is where we pick up in verse 20. The angel of the Lord says, "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. I love that, but there's more. So then the next day, the high priests find out, and they're like, "We told you not to do this." And verse 29 says, Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." That's bold. They're doing something the Lord's calling them to do. They get arrested for it, and they go back out and do it. At daybreak, it says at daybreak, they went out and did it. Like, that's major boldness. It's so public. They didn't just pull a few people behind a building and pray for them. No, they're like, "We're here and we're doing this because this is what the Lord's called us to do." That's boldness. And I strongly believe that that boldness is because they prayed. I don't think that boldness is of their own accord. I think that boldness comes from God. However, praying with specifics doesn't always mean that you're going to get what you want. And that can be a little confusing at times or a little bit tricky. Even Jesus prayed for his sufferings to be taken away, and that, you know, didn't happen the way he wanted it to. Luke 22, verses 42 to 44, Jesus says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. So Jesus made a request for, you know, "Is there any other way, Father, is there any other way that I don't have to be killed like this?" And there wasn't. We know that God's will was for Jesus to be killed for our sins. And that's beautiful, but it wasn't the answer that maybe Jesus wanted in that time. Because it all goes back to God's will. So for us, we can pray for whatever, but ultimately we need to be able to submit to God's will, because he needs to be able to take the reins of that. And I think that's a really important key in asking for things, is it's submitting. Another way that the apostles modeled prayer for us is in Jesus' name. Verse 30 says, "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." It's really not about us. It really all comes back to Jesus. His name is so, so powerful, and I would love to spend another 20 minutes just talking about the powerful name of Jesus, but we don't really have that time. So for now, I'll tell you, the name of Jesus is really, really, really powerful. And I really do believe it's important that it's in our prayers. I think it's easy to have a practice of, "God, here's our prayer, blah, 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 amen." I think there needs to be a little bit more of a blah, 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 "in Jesus' name, amen." Because that's so, 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 so important. So a practical step for us is to make sure we're praying in the name of Jesus when we pray. So one thing that I feel like I wanted to share with you is a few prayer opportunities that we have here at Lighthouse. Every Tuesday at 6 p.m. here at the church, we have intercessory prayer. And I know intercessory is a little bit of a big word, but it really just means we're praying for people. So we meet here Tuesdays at 6 right here in this room. We have a whiteboard that we write praises and requests on, and we just go through them for an hour. So if that's something that you have, something that you would like to receive prayer for, come on out. We'll gladly pray with you. And if that's something you feel like the Lord's highlighting that you need to be praying for others, this will be a really, really great place to start. You just get to come and pray and step into that. And then right after that, again, that's Tuesdays at 6. Right after that, we have the prayer room. That's at 7. And every Tuesday, we're in here. There's live worship happening, and that is your time to pray with the Lord. It's more of an intimate prayer. And That's also wonderful. I would recommend that, because that's 1 hour a week that you just get to sit with the Lord. It's really, really, really a good time. And then the last prayer opportunity we have here is pre-service prayer. And that happens every Sunday morning at 8:30 in the Beacon. We have a little prayer room. And in case you didn't know that, we really do. There are people that pray for this service and both services Sunday morning. And it's really cool. They pray for every aspect. And I do believe that's really important. So again, if you feel like the Lord is highlighting to you, you need to be stepping up your prayer life, then that might be a good place for you to plug into as well.